I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer online one-on-one sessions, packages, and online courses for the conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me, and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Heather. Heather is a mama of two little girls and a stepson from Florida. She experienced deep transformation and awakening from her birth experiences and her transitions into motherhood, and has found a passion discussing the sensational power that physiological and instinctual birth is for women. She recently founded MovementWithMom.com, a community to celebrate and support the mother-baby connection through movement and music. And in today's episode, Heather shares her first semi-accidental unassisted home birth that led her into diving deeper into the birth world. So when she became pregnant again and her little bubba decided to stay breech, she ended up driving 11 hours at 40 weeks pregnant to Tennessee to birth her baby with the midwives at the farm, escaping Florida's law that prohibits midwives attending breech births at home. Because she had such an empowering birth at home with her first, she knew that she could birth her baby naturally, physiologically. But she also knew she didn't want to birth this baby unassisted. Her stories are so beautiful and rich, and I can't wait for you to hear them. Curious about Heather? Find her on Instagram as Heather Drozdowski. Now, are you planning a home birth? Did you know that you can download my free home birth checklist in the show notes? In the checklist, I share absolutely everything that you need to know to prepare and have a home birth. This is the checklist that I give to all my clients that are having home births. And you can find this resource in the show notes alongside all my other free resources for a natural and physiological birth. Claim your birth, mama. Hi, Heather, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me, Anna. I'm so happy to connect with you.
I'm excited to have you on. You will be the first mama who's actually given birth at the famous farm, Ina Mae Gaskin's farm. So I'm very excited to get to that story and to obviously get into the nitty-gritty about breech, because we do love breeches. But before we do so, we're going to talk about your first birth that was also an intended home birth that kind of ended up being
an unassisted one. So I'm very excited about your stories. Let's dive on in. Do you want to kind of take us back to falling pregnant the first time and knowing you wanted to have a home birth? I mean, that's not super common in the US, is it?
I guess not. To me, and in my world, it is. To me, it's all I know or would want to experience. So that's why I'm so passionate about talking about it and sharing my experience and connecting with like-minded people like you, so that just to normalize it. I think that going back to the fact that birth really belongs to the internal experience between the mother and the baby. And that's kind of how my first birth ended up happening. So it's a good transition into that, is that I did hire midwives. It was an intended home birth. And when I was in labor and I was laboring from home, I kept feeling that I just wanted to experience this fully. And it felt so primal and it felt so private that I didn't really feel that I wanted to be watched or to be heard, because it's, you know, not only is it a spectator event, but it's, you know, if anyone has ears in any earshot, there's a lot of expression that's going on and a lot of sensation that the body is experiencing. And to me, it was just very primal and very private. So I continued to tell my husband, you know, don't call them, you know, don't tell them to come over just yet. No, not yet, you know. Yeah, so my midwives arrived a few minutes after the baby's head was born. So, and then the midwife assistant showed up, and then the midwife showed up like 5 minutes after the baby was born. So,
right. So she kind of like the assistant just walked on in as the head was out, and then you birthed the rest of the body.
Yes. And so basically I just was standing there and I just like leaned over, and it was my first time meeting the midwife assistant too, because, you know, when you have your prenatal care, at least in my experience, it's mostly with the midwife. And then, I didn't meet the midwife assistant for this experience. They were just on call for the day of. You know, I felt in my personal space that I probably could have done it all like after it was born. It's nice to have the support, because of course it's all new. And even the birthing the placenta, I was like, oh wait, there's more. The sensations that my body continued to experience after giving birth to the baby was, it was nice to have the support there.
Yeah, I hear you. So with your first, how did it start and how did it progress and how long was it? And what did you do? You and obviously your husband was there. Was it only you? And like, what did you do to travel through the journey of birth?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the journey of birth is so phenomenal and so sensational. And it's such an inward experience. And for me, when I was experiencing contractions, I had talked about what a contraction might be, but you don't know what it is until it's happening. I mean, the full body sensation of it is something that is like, wow, is this, you know, is this what this is? And am I in labor? And I think that, and that's another more information that I've read, is that labor can be long for some people. It can be short for some people. And I would say after laboring with my second one, and if I could compare the connection, I think it has, there's a lot of mental control. It's like the contraction of your mind, and it's the communication between the two. And the more that you can breathe into it and the more comfortable that you are with opening yourself up to the initiation that has called upon you, that this is the time, it is now, and to embrace it instead of running from it. So I believe with my first, when I was in labor, I was almost afraid of the sensations. They were so powerful. I was nervous because I didn't know, is there something wrong with me? Is this okay? Is this what I'm supposed to be feeling? I mean, I was laying in bed and my husband was already asleep. And I was advised, you know, if you're in early labor, you know, the baby's not going to pop out like an hour later, you know, don't wake up your husband or, you know, make sure that everyone gets some sleep because it's going to be a marathon. Well, that was, you know, true. And so instinctively, I didn't wake my husband. I just kind of went into the other room and just laid on the floor and just moaned with myself and was like, wow, you know, and then I was Googling online as what is a contraction and what is it supposed to feel like? And is this that? So, and is this labor and is this active labor? I couldn't really comprehend because again, I was just doing it instinctively with myself and having these conversations with myself and rolling around on the floor in a dark room, breathing through this and just being with myself and being with my baby, communicating to me that she was ready. So that's how it started. And how it progressed was it continued probably from 10:30 p.m. until early morning. And then my husband woke up and he came into the next room and I was just like laying on the floor, breathing, going back and forth. And he's like, oh, are you in labor? And I was like, I think so. And so from that moment, from probably like 5 a.m, he was just with me and supportive. And she was born at 2:22 p.m. So it was a slow kind of like contractions began. But they would come and they would go. And I danced with it through the evening, slept a little bit through some of them. And then they started to pick up and progress in the morning. And then it became more thunderous around, I would say, like noon and around 12:30. And then that's when we called my midwife. Well, I called her earlier that morning, but once I finally connected with her, I said, you know, we started to give her the contraction times and she was about an hour away. So, anyway, she said, well, just call me when, you know, you're comfortable and ready for me to come over. So we called her at like 1:30. So she was born at 2:22.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. And so together then when your husband was awake, did you have some sort of rhythm you were in or how did you move with the contractions? Did you use some certain, you know, breathing technique or something that helped you through?
Well, yeah, again, I think it was just all instinctive. I didn't have the training. Like I didn't, and I think that in retrospect, again, this is why I think it's so great to talk about it and to build community around truly talking and preparing for this experience because I was not prepared for how sensational labor and giving birth was. You know, you could call it painful, you could call it sensational, you could call it ecstatic. Certainly for me, it wasn't in the art of orgasmic where I was like, wow, this feels so good, but wow, this felt so transformative. It was just extremely powerful. Sensations. So I don't think I was truly aware of that. So I didn't have a lot of preparation for that. So honestly, it was a mental just battle and conversation with myself to just relax into it and to breathe into it. And that was just what was coming up for me because I knew that having a home birth was what I chose and what was I wanted. And so in the moments of all of that, I started to understand why a woman would go to the hospital or want to be in the hospital when I was in it. And I can understand how easy it might be, especially if you're in a room with strangers. I mean, I can't quite imagine that for myself. So I really feel for the women that maybe are in a position when giving birth that isn't as supportive. So I felt that, you know, me fully being there with myself and my husband there to support me, and us doing it together and working through the feelings that were coming up and the sensations that was happening was really the most intimate thing that I've ever done with my husband, or that I think that two people can do, is that private dance of bringing life.
Yeah. And that's so true, isn't it? And whether or not you choose to just do it with, you know, your husband or your loved one, or if there's a midwife there or a doula, you know, whoever's there, you know, what you're speaking of is so true. It is a sacred, very intimate, so raw and vulnerable and powerful experience, and that it is so essential that you invite only the ones that you truly feel like you want to have in that very private, very intimate, very holy moment. And I, as you know, a midwife, a spiritual midwife, I feel very honored every time I get to be invited to sit at the birth altar with women and their families, because it is an honor. And I really treat it as such.
Truly. It's the most spectacular, powerful experience. And after especially going through my second one, there's never a time in our lives that a larger hormonal connection can or will happen. So it is truly the most, it's the most connected experience.
Yeah, beautiful. So it sounds like you felt super duper empowered and like really knowing in every cell of your being and body that you can birth babies, as you did so, in a sense, unassisted from anyone else but your husband and yourself.
Yeah. And it was that experience afterwards that I was like, wow, that. Whoa. And I thought, is this what every mother has experienced? And this is what I didn't know, you know, I didn't know about this part of being a mom. You know, you walk around and you see mothers walking their cute babies in strollers and carrying their babies, but I never had a connection when I looked at them when I was still in my maiden phase of, wow, you did that.
Yes. You are awesome. You are powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a difference you view women when you actually know the power of birth.
Yes.
And because a lot of times people will see mothers walking with a stroller and thinking, oh, how cute. And there she is. And she's just the mother in quotation marks. And it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Yes, she is a mother. Do you know what that means? She went to war and back. She went to the underworld. She went to the stars and back. Like, she has traveled.
It's true. It really is true. And that's why, you know, I am such an advocate for women to just embrace that. Yeah. Embrace the initiation. Go there and trust yourself and speak kindly to yourself and empowering to yourself. And yes, take it seriously to enlist people that you trust and are comfortable with being in the room with you while you embrace this major life event, because it will affect the experience.
Yeah, 100%. So how long after this experience did you have another baby? And was that a planned pregnancy for your second?
A planned pregnancy for the second. The first one was not. And the second one, after about 9 months postpartum, I got my first period. Mm. And I immediately, even before that, but as soon as that happened, I was like, yes, I'm for another one.
So I got pregnant.
So I got pregnant right away, and I was thrilled about it, and we were excited about it, and I couldn't wait to go through the pregnancy experience and the birth experience again. I was just very gratefully looking forward to it, and I had new eyes
and a new body for it. And I had a really wonderful, inspiring pregnancy with my second, where I dove into everything that I could connect with and to online regarding birth and pregnancy and nutrition and physiological birth. And I started to really understand all of the things that I didn't know that I experienced the first time around. And so I got to put names to the experience and more connect to more women online that were talking about it. And I watched countless live birth videos. I love to see those online. I followed all the accounts that, you know, people post their videos and you get to see live births. And yeah, I just dove in. I loved it.
Wow, beautiful. And so this time around, did you employ the same midwife or what was the plan this time?
So we moved from California to Florida. So California was my first home birth. And then now I'm living in Florida. And so I am enlisted new midwives here. And I found lovely midwives that I work with through my pregnancy. But at 32 weeks, we discovered I was breech. And so that became a new conversation as things started to shift. As licenses in Florida don't support home birth or midwives attending a home birth.
Yeah.
Or assisting one. So.
Yeah, there's so many different laws in different states and it's a minefield, isn't it? So, but what happened? You were 32 weeks and did you then start researching other places or midwives or opportunities or what did you do?
So that was never part of my plan. I just told them, oh, I'm not having a hospital birth.
Yeah.
I will not go to the hospital. I will not have a cesarean. It's not going to happen. So however this is going to progress, I'm just letting you guys know in advance that under no circumstances, like this is going to be, but you know, I will rebirth this baby. And it almost came to that again, because I felt comfortable since I had done it with my first, but as the time got closer and closer, I just really started to tap in to my baby and the world around me. And I really started to just receive the messages. I embraced the conversations and the information that was coming to me. And instinctively, I knew that birthing unassisted for this one wasn't going to be the best choice. So that led to birthing my second child at the farm in Tennessee.
So talk us through that. So when did you contact them and decide, hey, I want to come to you?
Okay, so 40 weeks.
Whoop! Brilliant, love it.
So at 32 weeks, I got the information. I did all the things. I dove deep into now the breech world. When they told me my baby was breech, I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, what is breech? And so then I got into following birthing instincts and Dr. Stu, and I went down the rabbit hole. And it gave me the confirmation that I already knew that my body was capable of birthing a breech baby.
Yeah. For anyone listening, like it's just a variation of normal. I think it's so important to reiterate, and we can't do it enough. It is just a variation of normal, and the risk in quotation mark is very, very little. Let's flip it. Like most breech babies, just like most head down babies, will birth no problem. No problem. Yes. Mm-hmm. For some very few babies that are breech and head down, they will need help, right? It's just what's happened in the world is that professionals like midwives and doctors have lost the skills because it was demonized a few years back for a very faulty study that just made so many doctors and so many midwives not know the skills like we do for other. So we know skills for if a shoulder gets stuck. We know skills for when babies that are head down have problems, but it's slowly coming back, but it's still not a practice skill for us as midwives and doctors around the world, as it should be when it comes to breech babies that need help. Very few need help, though, by the way, just for everyone listening. Very few need help. Most of them just slip on out.
Truly. Yeah. Yeah. It was a really, really beautiful birth experience. And everything you just said is exactly correct. And so I really did feel that in my gut. I followed my instincts throughout my pregnancy. And with this second birth, I was just really tapping into that. I really tapped into just communicating with my baby. And, you know, all the outside world is gonna, but I was just held into my body. And, you know, I would feel her head all the time on top. And I'm like, she's comfortable in there. And this is where she is. And I thought it was an outrageous, I just thought it was a little outrageous for people to assume that my baby and like wasn't aware that they were not in a prime position to be born. I mean, as far as I was concerned, she was like, no, this is exactly how I'm supposed to be born. Yeah. And so that's just what kept coming up for me. So from 32 weeks to 40 weeks, I did the suggested chiropractor who specializes. I was going like 2 to 3 times a week. It was a Gonstead or Webster technique. I did the acupuncture where they burn the things on your toes. I did spinning babies. I laid upside down. I did all the birth balls. I went to a swimming pool, did handstands upside down, upside down. And all the while I was doing it, I was like, every time I'd go to these appointments, I'm like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, you know, my baby's telling me she's perfectly comfortable and fine, but I couldn't help but still feel the outside.
Yes. So much voices, so much noise, so much outside input. And this is the thing, is, you know, it's so hard in our modern day to be really anchored, even though you know all the things and you believe in them, because the pressure from the outside is so large. And I love how you mentioned, like, you know, you sought out community online, you sought out, you know, all this information, and you know, how often I say in this podcast, like, protect your energy, like, keep people and voices away that doesn't align with yours. But you still have family that most of the time, for most 99% of us, doesn't maybe view birth as we do, or, and you have friends and mama groups and whatever not. So it's hard for even the most, you know, solid, like, believers, you know, it is, you get affected by the voices from the outside.
Truly. And especially for a breech birth, because, you know, a lot of women, maybe if they go to the hospital for any reason, or they're induced.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever intervention has taken place, and it can lead to a emergency C-section.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting with a breech pregnancy is that you get the emergency C-section notice far in advance. And so it's this dance that I actually felt lucky to be able to experience, like, that in that information while I was still sitting with it for an extended period of time. It wasn't like, you know, oh, this is an emergency, let's rush her in and get the baby out. It was them telling me that this was going to be an emergency and that this was my only option. And so I just kept having these visualizations. Like, I would try to visualize myself. First of all, I watched a lot of cesarean births online. Yeah. I can't help but feel
that as much as people want to portray that as not a traumatic birth, that's traumatic to me. So for me, it didn't sit well that people were like, oh, congrats on your pregnancy and your traumatic birth, you know, and you're get ready for your trauma. Are you ready for it? You know, like I was just like, what? And it was just this countdown to trauma, really. And so it's just bringing up all of these sensations from like all of the thoughts that were rolling in and all the stimuli that was coming in from 32 weeks. I mean, 8 weeks is a long time to process information. So
yeah,
I felt lucky that I had the time to process it. And I felt that I had to keep staying confident with my birth experience, my child, my body, and stay true to that. So thank you for Dr. Stu and the advocates out there who are openly talking about this so that you can breathe life and light into someone like myself who was going through that and needed a second opinion. So basically, it got down to my midwives having to deliver me the paperwork that says your breech, and this is what we're going to have to do in the event. And on it was, if they arrive when I was in active labor and the baby was persisting breech, that they were going to call the ambulance. I was like, if you come over to my house when I'm in labor and call an ambulance on me? Oh, no, no, no. I remembered what it was like to be in labor with my first, and the last thing I would want is a bunch of sirens showing up at my door. So anyway, I immediately just said, okay, let's release care.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather release care than have that kind of care.
That kind of threat, really.
Yeah. And they were really uncomfortable, by the way, with having to do that. And it was not in their heart to do that, but it was the law. Yeah. So there was some tension for all of us there. So what I did was I hired doulas because I thought, okay, I'm going to birth this baby at home. I can hire doulas because they don't have a license. Like they can be there for me, right? So I hired two doulas and I let them know upon hiring them that my baby is persistently breached. I am going to birth this baby at home. You know, I've been watching these YouTubes and I've instructed my husband on what and how to do. Anyway, it turned out that after a few days after hiring them, and I hired them at like 38 weeks, 39 weeks, they decided that after they had discussed with others and people in the community, they decided that it was probably best that they also withdrew because they can't help or assist.
Yeah.
And that would be that would also be a conflict of the whole experience. And they wouldn't want to have to call the ambulance on me either because they knew how opposed to that I was.
Yeah. And I think this is really important for people to hear that obviously, and many people don't really understand the difference between midwives and doulas, which is really important to understand. Like a doula does not have medical training at all, right? And they really can't be there in any kind of way, shape, or form as medical advice or medical assistance. It's really spiritual, emotional, physical support, right? And however, I mean, I don't know about the US and the different states and whether or not doulas can get actually in trouble. Like midwives obviously can because they are licensed, registered. They can actually, you know, be held liable. Whereas I don't think doulas can. So that, yeah, legally they could assist you and not be afraid of repercussion. However, obviously it needs to be in that doula's
that she feels comfortable sitting with a woman who essentially is free birthing, you know, her baby, and how she feels about that. Not every doula would be comfortable, obviously, with that.
Yeah. So this second experience, being pregnant and then giving birth, and how this led to the most beautiful experience I could have never imagined, was a lot of information. And that's why I said I was just open to the information. It did not bother me that that happened, but that was a pivotal moment, because that was like, doom, 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 doom. It was like, okay, so what I'm receiving is that this birth is going to require some assistance. That's the information that is being reflected to me. So I knew, okay, that's what this means. This doesn't mean, oh, go free birth and do it by yourself. What this means is have someone there to support this birth. So this one, I wasn't going to call the midwife late, I'll tell you that.
Calling all the women back to the village. Have you felt the aching longing in your blood and bones, sister? The longing to belong to a village of women walking alongside you through life and rites of passages. A sisterhood who nurtures and supports you as you navigate living in harmony with your own and Mother Nature's heartbeat and cycles? Do you know in your deepest heart and soul that we were never supposed to live this independently and isolated to each other as we are in our modern, unnatural world? Then the Maiden Mother and Maga Village is what you have been longing for. In our village, you will find the women who know that they carry magic within their wombs, that know they are powerful, sovereign, and holy by nature. The natural, conscious, open-hearted, and empathic ones from all over the world. Until we live back in the physical village, let us be your village. It's not the same, not nearly as nurturing as a physical village, but it is nourishing. It is supportive, and it's available 24/7. It is emotional, spiritual, and mental support, and it's all online, accessible to all. We gather the first Wednesday of every month in a deeply nourishing sharing circle that finishes in a mama's Q&A full of support and wisdom. And you can now join us for free for a whole month to see if this sisterhood village is for you. You don't have to do motherhood by yourself, dear heart. There is a community of like-minded women ready to receive you in a big warm hug if you let us. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
So what I did was I instantly started searching online. What nearby states can I go to? I was like looking into Georgia, just who is exactly next to us that I can go to. And I actually, in a frantic minutes after this conversation, I was on a walk around the neighborhood and I was calling these midwives in Georgia and they were like, how many weeks are you? Anyway, I just kept getting like no's and I was like, oh man, what do I do? What do I do? So my husband started Googling and he found a blog post from Mama Natural that says, I think the title was Planning a Breech Delivery, like what are your options? Or have a breech pregnancy, what are your options? And he took a screenshot of it and it said, if you are willing to travel, the midwives at the farm in Tennessee are the most experienced and are
basically famous for supporting breech and twin births. So I was like, wow. So he sent that to me and he said, hey, I'm down to go to Tennessee if you are. I was like, wow, what a man. Oh. So I just started Googling. I mean, I had heard of the farm. I know the book, The Spiritual Midwifery, and I know Ina Mae Gaskin from just being the legend that she is. It never occurred to me in a million years that you would go to the farm and actually give birth there in like today. So, I reached out to, I just went to their website and, you know, it's like kind of a dated website. And I am like looking, like clicking on the midwives and all these midwives appear. And one of the midwives had like just under the bio had her email exposed. I was like, So copy, paste. And I just reached out to her with little information, just said, I'm an expecting mom, would love to connect with you about the possibility of working together. And here I am, 40 weeks pregnant. So she responds back within a few hours and sends me her Zoom to book a consultation. And so I book it for the next morning at 10 a.m. And so here we were connecting on Zoom meeting, and I divulged, and she was sitting there with her midwife assistant, and they were basically, you know, connecting with me in a very spiritual way and also interviewing me from a perspective of, okay, we understand you would be a transfer. And I know that there is some questions that I'm sure come up for midwives when that's the case. So they asked me those questions and I gave them, you know, the whole breakdown that I have tried everything under the sun, that I firmly believe in my ability to birth this baby. I have researched this high and low about what are the risks. I am open to the idea that if this was actually a medical emergency, that I would be okay with, you know, like I would understand if it was a medical emergency, that I would be okay with what might result from that, whether that be a hospital transfer or whatnot. But I firmly believed in my ability to birth. I had already given birth before, unassisted. And yeah, so with that information, they, there was a real connection there and they basically said, you know, well, what is your plan to get here? And they looked up the information and simultaneously there was a birthing house available on the farm. And it was available for an extended, like enough time that I would be able to stay there postpartum. And so all the stars just aligned. And I just looked at my husband and was like, okay. And they were like, okay, so what is your plan? And I'm like, what is our plan? And he's like, let's pack the car. So we packed the car and we left a couple hours later.
Oh my God. I love this story so much.
Yeah. So, and we packed, you know, my daughter too. My daughter came with us and me and my husband, and we drove 12 hours to Tennessee.
Holy moly.
All day through the middle of the night, got there at 3 a.m. They, you know, there's a gate to get into the farm property. So, you know, the midwife assistant had put out like a little clicker for us to get in the middle of the night. And, you know, we're rolling in and there's just nature and there's animals and it's just like, and I just, you could feel the energy when you enter like the vortex that is the farm. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I was like, wow, what a gift. What a gift I could have never received had I listened to all the noise.
Goosebumps. Ooh. Okay. So you're rolling in the middle of the night. Continue the story, please.
So we're rolling in the middle of the night, and you know, we have our little address of where it is on these little dirt roads. And I think, I don't know if I have these specs correct, but is it 17,000 acres? I don't know. It's big, enormous space of natural beauty, privately owned. And wow, pulled into our little house. My husband, you know, is unpacking the car, and we're in this cool, like, little birthing. It's an actual home too. But they're like manufactured homes on the space where it had a full kitchen, living room, shower, bedroom, a second bedroom. So it's like so nice to have all of this space. It's a space where countless women have birthed in before. So the energy and the sacredness of all of those moans and groans in that space where they powered through the initiation and transformation that going through the birth portal experience is just really washes over you when you're in there. And I was like, wow, this is just incredible. And you're just breathing the natural air surrounded. I mean, we're just surrounded by trees. I'll have to find some pictures and send more to you. But wow. It was an incredible experience to be there. I was like ready to fall asleep, but I was excited to wake up and couldn't wait to see the sunrise. So we slept for just a few hours. Oh my gosh, the most incredible sunrise when we woke up, and my midwife came over to meet me in person with the few midwife assistants that would be there, or the couple, at 10 a.m. So a few hours later, we met in person and began the journey that was going to be the birth of Fiona. And I gave birth exactly 7 days or 6 days later. So technically on a due date, I gave birth at 41 weeks. And it was the most incredible experience to be in nature, surrounded by that type of energy where my nervous system was able to just go. Where I live in Florida is not even that busy of a place. I live in, you know, a suburb around other homes, but there is something to be said,
yes,
about going to a space that is open and full of nature. And also, even if it's just a headspace where the mother that's getting ready to birth her child can unwind and disconnect from the outside stimuli. So honestly, it was just beyond of a gift. I mean, birthing at home would not have been the same. It would have just been like, you know, with my first one, I was like, oh, okay, I'm at home and now I'm in labor, but I'm going to stay home. Where this was like, I'm going somewhere to welcome my baby into the world. And my only purpose now for the next few days or weeks until the baby comes is to connect with this sacred experience. What a difference. So I found a calling after that whole experience to, I don't know where it's going to lead, but more bespoke births for women to call in their baby and be in a space when labor is potentially getting close. Even, gosh, if we even had the opportunity to do it weeks before, but I just felt really blessed to have those days leading up to giving birth and then the very sacred days afterwards to spend in one place.
Beautiful. It just sounds so delicious, like having a retreat birth, like, wow, what a beautiful thing. And yeah, I'm getting like visions of this place, even though I don't know at all what it looks like, but I just have this vision of you being in the forest and these tall trees around. And
That's what it was like. And it was in the fall, so it was October. And so all the millions of colors of leaves, every color you can imagine. And it was warm enough where it was comfortable, and it was brisk and cool enough where the wind was coming. And it was just like magic. You could just smell the magic outside. And we had a little wooden porch, and I just got to go out and drink tea. And we went on long nature walks down to the creek and the water. And my daughter got to
you know, run around naked, and we just got to connect with all the flowers and the wildflowers and the horses. And when I went into labor, we were just, you know, petting horses on a walk, and I was like starting to feel the contractions come, and it was just a real natural, beautiful dance with nature, with myself. Oh my gosh, with my husband, with my daughter, with my baby. It was phenomenal.
So you're talking and you're starting to get these contractions coming on. Let us take us on a journey of your birth then with your Fiona baby.
So, you know, we're just on this brisk walk where you're stepping on all the leaves, crunch, crunch, crunch. I still can remember all of it. And the contractions would come, and they were pretty heavy, and I could feel, and my husband was like, this is it. You know, he's like, this is it. Because I had some contractions a couple nights before, and I let my midwife know, hey, I'm experiencing some contractions. But they weren't big and thunderous. And I would say around 5:30 p.m. when we're on our walk, that's like when I started to kind of feel them. And between 5:30 and 6:30, they picked up a little bit stronger. And at 7:30, they were more significant. So by the time 7:30 came, we had made it back to our home. And I let my midwife know. And then I got into the shower just for some sensation relief. And it was in there that I was like, oh, wow. Okay. We are moving here. This is picking up. And so between around 7:30 and 8:30 PM, that really started to pick up. So we did let her know, and we started to time it, and she arrived around 9 o'clock PM. And by the way, she just takes a little golf cart over. She's like 5 minutes away. So that's what's so cool is that, you know, it's just everything. Yeah. It's really cool. So she just comes on over, and my space was very sacredly set. My husband had lit tons of candles. Fiona's middle name was Rose, so the place was covered in roses. And I, you know, had all of my favorite things, like my favorite lotions for my face and my conditioner, and just things that made me feel just like relaxed and comfortable and at ease. And my daughter was peacefully asleep. I put her to sleep, you know, while all these contractions were happening, and she got to be in the second bedroom. So she was far enough away from the birthing space, which was going to be in the living room, which is like this big wide open, like wooden floors with a kitchen. So everything was accessible, and there was a nice, beautiful couch behind me. And my husband had already blown up the birth pool. And so my midwife and my husband started to fill it up around 9 o'clock. I got in around 9:30. And then that's when the assistant and the other assistant started to show up. And I was already fully in it, breathing through it. I knew it was happening quick. And I was in the birth pool in the water. My waters broke while I was in the birth pool at 10:10 PM. And the baby was fully born, head and body, or I guess body and then head, at exactly 11 PM. So it was a quick, swift experience.
Wow. And so how was the labor? Was it regular contractions? Because sometimes, you know, breech birth can sometimes be a bit different looking than head down. So what was that like? How was the labor different? Did you notice a difference from your first and in the sensations, or how it was to birth a bum before a head?
Well, wow. You know, as the sensations were coming and, you know, they pick up, and it's like that, like when that thunder is approaching and you're feeling it, what kept coming up for me was like, oh, you again. Like, it was like, oh, we meet again, you know? So truly I would say that the sensations of it, the power of it was similar. And I will tell you that birthing a bum that's folded in half with their legs is equally as large as a head. I'll tell you that for sure. So when that's coming through, it is certainly a powerful experience. I would say that it was a different sensation because it remained wide. Like, you know, like when a head comes out and then it kind of closes again. Whereas this was just like for several minutes. And so the contraction for my body to continue to birth the baby, like the feet, didn't necessarily come. It didn't wave in like it would as if the head, and then it's like, okay, the next piece, whereas this was just kind of holding. And once I spoke with my midwife after this birth and we processed it, the fact that this baby was coming out breech and had kind of remained in that position without the two little feet coming out yet for a bit of an extended period of time. And an extended period of time would be like, maybe it was longer than 5 minutes, long time. We think that that is why when the baby's head was born, she did need a little assistance with breathing, and but it was calm and it was beautiful and it wasn't a scary emergency, and she was on my lap and I was holding her hand and talking to her, and I didn't have any fear come up. I knew that I had already experienced the experience before because I was so in touch with my child and I listened to all of the information that was coming to me through the pregnancy, which said this birth will require a little bit of assistance.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. And I was like, that's why I'm here.
Exactly. That's why you had a midwife. And that's what we're so good at. And, you know, we know what to do. And so that's it. You know, breech births or breech babies have a little bit of an increase in needing some extra help at birth. Not every breech baby, but some, you know, and it's, and that's just the thing. Like some babies will, whether they're head down or bum down first, you know, we say generally babies who, you know, about 10% of babies will need some extra help at birth to breathe and to open their lungs. And, you know, your baby needed that. And maybe your baby would have needed that if it was head down too. We don't know.
Exactly. And at least my baby's, if it was head down and if I was anywhere but in my own sacred space, they might have just cut the baby, taken the baby, and created a scene over it. Whereas this was a instinctual transition. I had a midwife. I had a second midwife. So they did call in a second midwife during the pregnant or like during the birth. And she revealed to me later that that's actually standard policy at the farm, that for breech and twin births, that two midwives are present. And then we had two midwife assistants. So, but it was just a beautiful symphony of my midwife, the second midwife. It was just like breathing through one thing to the next. It was very instinctual. We needed this. We needed that. We put the baby here. We needed this. And the time actually from my baby being born at 11, the time that she made it to my chest was 11:07 p.m. She was on my waist before that. And then she was able to kind of come to life like 7 minutes later. So there was a long period of time, but again, it wasn't scary. It was, we were still connected. I knew that we had everything that we needed to support the transition from the baby being in the womb to coming earthside.
I love that. And I love that you were still connected to her. So what that means for anyone listening is that they didn't cut the cord, which is what usually happens in hospital, especially in big hospitals where they remove the baby from the mother to put them on a resus table, or even worse, maybe even leave their room for going out to another room where they have the resus table, which is very common in some places like Sweden. So this is really important information, because as a baby comes out, a lot of the time the placenta is still attached, which means that your baby's still getting oxygen, still getting life-giving nutrients and oxygen, which is then keeping that baby fully
you know, it's no problem that the baby takes a longer time to transition, especially if it still is connected to its cord, which is giving it continuous blood flow from the mother, just as it did in the womb for 9-10 months.
Absolutely, yeah. And being connected with holding her hand and being able to touch her and being in that, you know, safe, close space. My husband is sitting right next to me. We're on the couch. The midwives are, you know, they brought out like a, you know, just everything that that they needed. And the little baby, I remember seeing her for the first time being like, whoa, you're so little. She was 7 pounds and 1 ounce. But after you give birth the first time, you almost forget how little they are when they come out. It was such a miracle to see her. She was so beautiful. And it's just the most incredible, sacred time to have that truly private golden hour experience of no noise and no madness and no fluorescent lights and just privacy and patience and sacred space and love. And it was just incredible. And I would definitely say that, yes, that is a very different experience than being with a big blue gown and a blue mask and seeing my baby lifted out into with blood everywhere and not being able to feel my body and being on a bunch of different drugs to not feel the experience and have her cut out of me. Yeah, I would say that's a very different birth experience.
Very, very. So tell me about the postpartum at the farm.
Ooh, my gosh. That is really, that's another thing that really came so inspired to me about how important it is that sacred postpartum time. It was just, that's why also, you know, home births are so lovely because, yeah, you're home. You're in your safe space. You don't have to, I hear that after you give birth in a hospital, you know, sometimes you stay there for a day or two and then you go home and then you have to go back to the hospital like a day or two later. I mean, what is going on anyway? So yeah, it was really nice to just have the ability to relax, lay with the baby, just be skin to skin, be naked and comfortable, move at a slow pace, be with my daughter and my husband. And we had prepared the fact that we would be there. So we were able to stack the fridge and the freezer with all the things. And we had people in the community come and like home make food and drop it off. And it was just phenomenal. So having that support of people, especially when they can nourish you with nutrition, postpartum was a really wonderful, beautiful experience. Being able to just walk outside and be on the porch and be in nature and be where I birthed her. And, you know, it was nice to get there early because I was able to experience the whole, I wasn't going on, you know, hikes after this. I was just relaxing in the sacred space. And we were there for a full 10 days afterwards. And then after 10 days, we transitioned back home to Florida.
Wow. Thank you so much, Heather, for sharing this very special birth story on all levels.
Yeah.
If you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say you can do this. You can do this. And it is possible. And the limit is, sure, there can come up some physical limits, and that can happen. And there are possibilities of physical limitations, but everything is possible and transmutable through the power of intention and connection. And I do believe that if you prepare yourself for the sensational experience and welcome all of the sensations that will come with it and move through it in your power and stay connected to your will that this is what you want, and this is what you want for not just yourself as the becoming the new mother, but for your child, for your baby, to welcome them into a space that is loving and supported and sacred. It is possible for you, and doing whatever mental work you need to do to kind of get ready for what that looks and sounds like, and being careful about who you choose to embrace this journey with in your space. And that goes for, you know, I guess enlisting midwives, you know, have these conversations that what happens if and when this comes up, and what will that look like? Because I will tell you, I was not expecting to, you know, go into the farm, and hiring a second midwife is hiring a second midwife. And, you know, in other words, that was a financial commitment as well as a huge emotional transition so late in pregnancy too. So to be prepared for all of that and all the things that can come up, and embrace them and stay connected to what is important to you for your birth, because I understand that that can be different for all people. But what I wish for all women is that you experience a connected birth where you feel safe and comfortable, and that you feel very supported in your first hours and days postpartum.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Heather, for sharing your wisdom with us.
Awesome. Thanks for creating the space for us to talk and to share and to connect, because we need it.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.